Support the environmental movement in order to destroy businesses. This is coming from the Communist Party now. Support the environmental movement. Other than the gay and lesbian lobby today, do you think there's anybody in America that has greater influence in this country than the environmental movement? Why are we not energy independent? Why are we still tied to Middle East oil? Why are there major sectors on our border that our Border Patrol cannot adequately secure or patrol because they're national forest and we're protecting the environment? I was just with a man in Tucson 2 weeks ago who is a retired Border Patrol agent. And if any of you that get Glenn Beck TV, you saw him this Tuesday. He was on, I actually called Beck's program and said, you got to get this guy on the program. And he laid out huge, major sectors of national border in Arizona, a national forest, where the Border Patrol can only go in there on foot or horseback. Now, the illegals coming across the border, they can take anything they want up through there. They can take jeeps, trucks, anything else. And a Border Patrol agent was shot in there, and they would not let them fly a medevac helicopter in there and pick him up. They made him ride this Border Patrol agent. He'd been shot in the leg. Ride him out on a horse 4.5 hours to get him out of there because of the environmental regulations. The environmental movement in this country is why we don't drill at home. It's why we are not energy independent. It's the environmental movement. Communist Party USA said we'll get in behind the environmental movement to destroy businesses. And these are not my words. You can go look in the book. You can watch the video. You can find all of this and validate what I'm saying. And then destroy the morals by getting America to accept homosexuality. Now let me say, I am a sinful man. And the sin of homosexuality is no greater than my sins. But the consequences are significant. And I stand in opposition to it, and I find nothing scriptural about homosexuality in terms of it being acceptable to God. I love the homosexuals, and I want to bring to them the hope and the joy of knowing Jesus Christ and being able to move away from that choice that they have made. But the Communist Party USA said, we will get in behind the homosexual movement and we will get Americans to accept homosexuality. And I am terribly grieved that our Congress has chosen to remove the restrictions as applied by Don't Ask, Don't Tell on our military to allow homosexuals to serve openly in our military. It was the penetration of the last bastion of ethics and morality in America. See, the church was already penetrated. We're ordaining homosexuals. The church has already penetrated, but the last bastion of ethics and morality in America was the U.S. military. And now that has been penetrated by an element that I would tell you is going to destroy this nation. Eliminate prayer in school. They said they were going to eliminate prayer in school in 1968. Eliminate prayer in school. It's all part of removing God because you cannot have people relying on something higher than the party or the government. You must remove God. Discredit the family as an institution. Our families are falling apart. The divorce rate. Fathers leaving their homes. What is it in America, Rick? 40% of the homes in America today don't have a father in the home. And in the black community, it's about 60%. The fathers are absent. Destroy the family. Promote promiscuity and easy divorce. We see that today. Get control of the schools through teachers' unions. Again, this is in the book. It's in their book. It's what they said. Teachers' unions. And we'll get control of the schools and use the curriculum to promote socialism. And then eliminate obscenity laws and call it free speech. I remember back in the, I guess it was the late 70s, early 80s, when they went through all of these trials about what was going to be considered obscenity and what wasn't. And now today, we've got so many people addicted to internet porn. And by the way, you know, a guy told me one time, he said, I really believe that the internet porn is directed at the Christian. Because the heathen, he'll go down there and go to a porn shop. He'll go to a porn movie. But it's the Christian that slips into the closet and pulls up that pornography because it's no longer considered obscene. And that's all part of the destruction of our morals in America. Let me go to the next one. Break down the cultural standards of morality by promoting porn. Promote homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And then here's the last one. Infiltrate the media and get control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. That was part of their plan. And do we sort of see that that's happened in America? Okay, right out of their book. Get control. And infiltrate the church and replace revealed religion with social religion. Do we have a lot of social religion today? We have a lot of people that stand up and smile and say, you're okay and I'm okay and God loves you and it doesn't matter who you sleep with because God still loves you. Well, God does love you. But there's an accountability that doesn't seem to be part of that discussion.
This book was written 50 years ago, and it was presented before Congress in the House of Representatives on January the 10th, 1963. And the book was actually written by a former FBI agent in Salt Lake City, and it was during this time that he wrote his famous book called The Naked Communist. This guy had inner knowledge of what was going on way back then about what communism was openly trying to get into the United States of America. He presents 45 goals for overthrowing the United States, overthrowing it in the sense of making it become communist. You tell me if this book that's 51 years old, written by a former FBI agent, if this book is not telling exactly the direction our country's going. Now, with this in mind, I want to give you just a few of them. Number four, permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation, and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Of course, it was a short time after that that we started seeing things in our nation that was made in effect by communist nation. For example, I always thought it was kind of funny how American flags are made in China. Number 11, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one world government with its own independent armed forces. Well, how many know since then that has literally taken place? Now the UN has its own army, and many of these stand on their own soil. Many of our American citizens are part of this international army. Number 12, resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. I don't know how many of you saw it during the president's speech. There were massive amount of pro-Obama, pro-communists that were standing right there in the United States Capitol, proudly waving their communist flags, a part of the United Communist Party of America. When would you have ever thought we'd got to that place? Number 15, capture one or both of the political parties in the U.S. Now keep in mind, this was written 51 years ago. Consider how radical that sounded. And consider today, when you look at Newsweek just recently, the front page of the cover of Newsweek magazine openly says, we are all socialists now. Since the election, we're all socialists now. Does one of the political parties seem to be pushing socialist concepts, folks? I know it's kind of hard for us to believe this. That's why we need to pull our heads out of the sand. It is happening right before our very eyes. We are seeing, we're losing an entire political party to this concept. Number 16, use technical decisions to the court of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. Who would have ever thought that you would get to the place in the United States of America that you could not say the Pledge of Allegiance because it said one nation under God? Who would have ever thought, folks, that a judge would keep kids from saying the Pledge of Allegiance, ban them from doing so? Number 17, talking about schools, listen to this. Get control. This is 51 years ago. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of the teachers' association. Put the party line in textbooks. Well, every one of those things have been fulfilled to a T. Just last month, one of the National Education Association's top lawyer said openly in a speech said that those who promote traditional values are a group of white-winged blank, starts with a B. Now, these are the people that are teaching our children. And we'll talk more about the school thing in a minute. Number 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. I think that pretty much goes undisputed. It seems today that CNN has turned into the Communist News Network. When you look at the junk that's on television today, and it's you believe it and you obey it because it's on TV. Number 22, continue discrediting American culture by degrading. Now listen to this. This is pretty incredible. By degrading all forms of artistic expression. Now that's going to sound bizarre, but listen to what he says. An American communist cell was told to, quote, eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. Now, why would an FBI agent uncover this from the communist attempt to take over when all of a sudden you start looking, and literally, as you look, it's almost as if art has become shapeless, meaningless forms. Matter of fact, this is the most acceptable form of art in our nation today. Number 23 has to do with this when it says, control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote, now listen to this, to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. And why? Now, I want to think about this. Anybody that understands the power of the arts, and this is why we need to pray that God will raise up our children to be aggressive light and salt in the art industry. Because, folks, it's taken over by liberals, taken over by homosexuals, taken over by communist socialistic minds. When you look at just some of the arts that are traveling the country, right now there's one that's crisscrossing the country for well over 2 years now, where you just get to look at people who died, and they didn't know who they were or whatever. They just took these people's bodies and used them as art displays. They cut their bodies in half so you can walk around and look at their insides of their bodies and everything else. There at the top there, you see a guy reading the Power of Books, and it explodes. His brains are scattered across the wall. Here's a piece of art that hung in an art institute for a long time called Dyke. And then, of course, you see this little kid all makeuped out and all the rest. And then, of course, all the sadomasochism, the ugliness, the perversion, the filth, and it's all considered art. Number 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Nothing could get any worse than this when you think of child pornography. And so what they've done, they have done what they call virtual child porn, where they'll take the body of an adult that looks young, and then they'll put a child's face on it to make it technically legal. And, of course, unlimited what they'll do with that person's body. Number 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion picture, radio, and TV. Of course, 51 years ago, never anybody even heard of the internet, never even concept of the internet. And yet today, folks, when you think of the porn industry and how it's just dominated all the airways, all the technical things, everything coming through satellite and cable and all the rest. Number 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. I don't know how many of you have seen the tendency in recent years not to just say we have the right to be homosexual, but now we want homosexuals to be the spiritual leaders. We want to ordain ministers as homosexuals. We want to let them lead us because God made us this way, and we want God to be approving of our acts. So God bless us, and God made me gay, and God made us queer, and God loves me, and all the rest. But of course, this is all part of an amazing thing. Incidentally, I don't know how many saw this on the news a while back, but a California teacher passed out these cards produced by the Gay, Lesbians, and Straight Education Network to her class of kindergartners. And what it says there, you see this little card here, and this particular one is signed by a little boy named Ronald. By signing this card, I, Ronald, am taking a stand for a safe and harassment-free school for all students regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity expression. It goes on to describe that you're not going to say anything against lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. This is kindergartners. And listen, folks, the communists said, if we can get America to break this down, we'll have them. Of course, number 27 says, infiltrate the churches. Replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible. And emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. I think it was interesting when Newsweek had a cover story earlier this year. I think it was around the spring. It says the decline and fall of Christian America. Now think about this. Earlier, just about a month before that, we're all socialists now. So as socialism is gaining and the church is starting to lose, you remember what was said? That one guy said, socialism becomes a religion when people lose their religion. You know, when you think of the fact that the NIV, the translating committee, hired a lesbian to help translate was on the translating committee of the most widely used translation of churches in America and Christians in America. That's why you will never read the word sodomites in the Bible anymore in the NIV. Matter of fact, when they do refer to a homosexual, they make sure you qualify by saying a homosexual offender. Read 1 Corinthians, where it talks about those that will not enter the kingdom of God. It doesn't say homosexual anymore in the NIV. It says a homosexual offender. It's not technically being a homosexual that would make you there. It's if you are a homosexual offender, like a heterosexual offender. It's the dumbing down and the discrediting of God's word. Incidentally, if your children or grandkids are on the internet very much, they've probably been to a site called YouTube, which is filled with all kinds of videos. And one of the most popular videos that has been viewed on YouTube is a video series that not only displays the fact America is a loser country, but that atheism and agnosticism is the only way that you should live your life. Incidentally, this whole movement is a countercultural group of young kids, even going down to junior highers now, junior high, senior high, and especially college kids, who consider God a delusion. The whole concept of God, you have to be an idiot to believe in God. Number 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that violates the principle of separation of church and state, which is one of the most obvious destructive lies that's ever been. It's nowhere in our Constitution, nowhere in the Bill of Rights. Nothing is said about this, but it's a concept that's now literally pushed prayer out of our schools. Number 29, discredit the American Constitution. This is an FBI writing this 51 years ago who had the inner knowledge of what communism was trying to do. How many know they got time? And they're willing to take time, because what one generation may not let get by with, maybe the next one accept it. So you do it by discrediting the American Constitution, by calling it inadequate and old-fashioned and out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on worldwide basis. Now we're considering that the Constitution isn't important anymore. Why worry about the Constitution? Why consider it important? Because it's an old, outdated manuscript. We don't live like those people wanted us to live. And now, guess what, folks? Colleges, which are starting up all across the country this week, kids will be in there during all the controversy of socialism right now, and these kids are being taught by majority of liberal scholars and teachers and philosophers that America doesn't need a constitution anymore. Incidentally, when you think of the fact that our Second Amendment and the Bill of Rights is becoming attacked, did you know that when Mr. Obama was Senator of Illinois, he voted against the Second Amendment 4 times? Now think of this, folks. He's now the President of the United States of America. Do you honestly think that he's changed his policy? Absolutely not. Number 30, discredit the American founding fathers. Now, this one really ticked me off when I started studying on this. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. I actually just typed in founding fathers just to find out what, and I was absolutely blown away that they're referred to. One site called them domestic terrorists. Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, just to name a few, were mocked and ridiculed as idiots, as stupid, as selfish, and as every kind of lame word they could come up with. Number 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the grounds that it's only a minor part of the big picture. Today, when you go to schools, folks, it's amazing how dumb our kids are really becoming. The dumbing down of our kids. They don't know the basics. I remember the first time I heard, and it was just a few years ago, that Christopher Columbus was a bad guy. I've been raised all my life talking that he was a great guy. Well, no more. Matter of fact, every year when Columbus Day comes around, it's almost like the news has to go out of its way to present him as one of the worst citizens that has ever lived. Of course, number 32, support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health. I think that pretty much goes undisputed, how that's becoming more and more an obvious trend in our country today. The government's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Number 38, transfer. Now, this one's really scary. Transfer some of the power of arrest from the police to social agencies. Now, listen to this. 51 years ago, treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. Well, how many know today that there are so many of our kids on prescription drugs where all they needed is some dad or some mom to love them enough to get the belt out and show them what's right and wrong? But now we don't correct our kids. We don't whip our kids. We say, well, they need a timeout. We give them some drugs. Folks, are we idiots? What's wrong with us? This is communistic, by the way. Number 39, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over these to oppress those who oppress communist goals. And believe it or not, folks, it's getting more and more obvious as the tax issues come along. One day, somebody's going to wake up and say, hey, what about all these churches that don't have to pay taxes? And they're not walking with us. They're not standing with us. Well, you know what would happen, sad to say. Shouldn't be that way, but once they lost their tax-exempt status, many of these churches would and organizations, nonprofit organizations, would just fold up. And, of course, number 40, and I think we're getting real close to the end here, discredit the family as an institution. Now listen to this. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. I thought it was interesting. I was preaching last week and stayed in a hotel, and I don't even turn my TV on anymore when I get in a hotel. It's just like, you know what? I just go and unplug it. It's not even worth wasting my time. But it's laying right on the top of the television is HBO's order for the month. And the advertisement is a new series HBO is doing called Hung. And it's talking about how a particular part of a man's body is built, and how that he's become a hot item among all these women because he's hung. And so the whole series, which will run into very many, many weeks, is how sexual promiscuity is something that now women can sit and watch and be entertained, because now it no longer it's the use for the men, but now it's the whole thing. And then, of course, the whole easy divorce. It's incredible today how there is many divorces in the church world, and more so than there is even in the non-church world, because it's just simple. Now, obviously, when this book was written 51 years ago, it was about 1 out of 1,000 people were getting divorced. Now it's 1 out of every 2. Wonder if there's a little story behind this somehow. Number 41, and I think this is my last one, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices and mental blocks and retarding of children to the suppressive influence of parents. Now the moms and the dads are becoming the bad person. Matter of fact, Hillary Clinton wrote years ago this book called It Takes a Village, which basically boils down to you as a parent really don't have the ability to raise your kids. That's why you need the government. You don't have the right to tell your kids what they can and cannot do. They're owned by... See, you know, folks, we gave them this right, and they got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I applaud any mother that's got the courage and the guts and the sacrifice to try to train their own children. Because I got news for you. You have your only other choice is send them to the government schools. And believe it or not, folks, you give them to the government and they'll produce them exactly the way they want them produced. You know, it's sad when you think about this, but a lot of preachers today won't deal with stuff like this. You better be grateful you got a pastor. And I've known Josh since he was a little boy. You better be thankful you got a preacher's not intimidated by this. And because I'll be honest with you, as I've traveled as an evangelist now for 31 years, I've seen a lot of shocking things. But one of the most disgusting is to see the trend in the church today to shy away from anything that causes people to be uncomfortable. Here's how he answers this one question: should politics and religion be mixed? On moral matters where right and wrong are involved and where the Bible clearly speaks, many preachers are so compromised and sold out and are so afraid of their congregations that they cannot give the clear word of God. God pity the preacher who is afraid to preach against sin because somebody will cry politics. Today you can't say anything. You say something about abortion, it's political. You say something against homosexuality, it's political. You say something against divorce, it's political. Everything's that way. Now people are afraid to say, you say anything. You know, folks, who cares? People say, well, you need to mind your own business. I got news for you. That is our business. The preacher of the gospel is to tell you the truth. And the fact of the matter is, when you go back to Karl Marx, you know what? How this communist movement got started? And with this, I'll wrap this up. Communism, ladies and gentlemen, got started because a direct line of liberal Christianity. Jesus said, when the salt has lost its ability to hold back corruption, when the salt has lost its savor, when the salt cannot preserve, guess what? It is henceforth good for nothing.
Well, anybody have anything to say about that or any comments? Hang on a second. Sister Irma has something to share. Go ahead, Sister Irma. You got the mic.
How do you follow something like that and get over to back to Mother's Day? Oh, my Lord. Evil is so abounding, and people cannot see it. That's what's so shocking, how blinded they are. And this evil, wicked, they can't make it any more horrific. All these demons from hell are just on a rampage, and they just try every way to make it more evil and more evil and more evil. I'm telling you, people aren't waking up. No, they're not. They just go on with life. But when you hear these things, it just moves you and makes you think, it makes you just think, oh, Lord, just come soon. That's all I can say. But we were talking about Mother's Day, and I wanted to give tribute to your mother because we walked together in the Lord for a long, long time. And she helped me so much. And I just wanted to read this little tribute that I read today and thought of her. And I'd like to say it to her. I owe you for your time, day and night. I owe you for your example, constant and dependable. I owe you for your support, stimulating and challenging. I owe you for your humor, sparky and quick. I owe you for your counsel, wise and quiet. I owe you for your humility, genuine and gracious. I owe you for your hospitality, smiling and warm. I owe you for your insight, keen and honest. I owe you for your flexibility, patient and joyful. I owe you for your sacrifices, many and quickly forgotten. I owe you for your faith, solid and sure. I owe you for your hope, ceaseless and indestructible. I owe you for your love, devoted and deep. And I just kind of walked down through the museum of memories that we had for many, many years. And I just wanted to wish you a blessed, happy Mother's Day. That's all. Thanks, Dan.
Praise the Lord. That was wonderful. Thank you, Irma. Looks like Seth has something here. Hang on a second.
Hello, everybody. I wanted to say, too, happy Mother's Day to Ma and She's been a blessing, and I want to say that it's been great to be here. She's done so much, and she's my mom in the Lord, and I really appreciate her and all that she's done for me. She's done a lot for me as well, so thank you. And I wanted to also say, after Dan's message there, that, you know, it really bothers me that people that try to discredit that America started out as a Christian nation, like Dan has said before, and exposing many of them people, that saying that America was never a Christian nation, well, I want to tell them that that is not facing reality. That is trying to shift the blame and not take the responsibility for what we as Christians let go. It started out as a Christian nation, and we let it drop, and it was our fault, no one else's, and to try to deny that is to just get away from the truth of the matter. And like Johnny said, I didn't know our true history either until I read the book, Dan actually has it, The Light and the Glory. I had no idea what our nation actually, how it started or anything, or what the founders believed. And I was homeschooled, so I, even in homeschooling and that, the textbooks are being changed very slowly, but it's happening in there too. You have to get different sources if you want to know what really went on and what happened. So I just wanted to say too that that them type of people really annoy me as well, that will not admit that America was a Christian nation. Well, that was all. Back to Dan.
Amen. Thank you, Seth. Okay, James wants to share something.
Hi, everyone. After Dan's subtle little hint there to give a tribute to Mama, I definitely want to do that because there's something on my heart that's been on my heart. And Mama, you know, it's my belief that Jesus didn't come and die on the cross and rise again just so we could go to heaven. He came and died on the cross and rose again that we could come forth in His image. And that is so evident in you, and it means so much to me, and gives a goal for me to see what that looks like. And it, I just love you, Mama, and thank you for everything you've done for me, and helping me to come forth in the Lord. You are truly my spiritual mother, and I thank you. And God bless you, Mama.
Amen. Somebody else is coming. Cameron.
Say, I got the hint too here. So, but no, I really want to say that Ma is very special to me, and of course, Ma isn't really my real mother, but. If you know Ma, she's like a mother to everyone, and that's just the way Ma is. She is incredible in the Lord. There's people that say they've never seen an older woman have so much fire for the Lord before, and that is so true with Ma, and it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I know Ma keeps me on the straight and narrow most of the time, and I really appreciate her for that. I love you, Ma. And also, too, a quick one to mention about what Dan was talking about with communism. And he said the other week about, you see, Christians are being demonized. And there was a couple of weeks ago on the news that Christians are number one on the terrorist watch list. And that's because Christians do not fit in with communism at all. So that's why I believe that they are, you know, number one on the terrorist watch list. Evangelical Christians are. It's all about demonizing them. So that's all I had to share. Add my two cents. Thanks, guys.
Amen. Somebody else is going to come out here, I think. Hang on. Johnny's going to say, I see you, Kim. Hang on, Kim.
Yeah, Kim, wait your turn. Well, yeah, unexpected. I mean, I was have been so distracted with what I was into before that I didn't even celebrate Mother's Day and no holidays. I was so busy doing what the enemy had me doing, which was work, work, work. I could not, didn't even do any of that. So what I wanted to say to, I'm kind of getting the hang of calling my sister Annabelle, Mama, too. And I've only known her personally for, well, it's about 1 year now that I've been here, and she is truly a blessing. I know, you know, I have read in the Word where it says, who Jesus says, who is my mother and father and brother and sister? And I actually didn't think I would ever meet anybody on this earth who would be truly a spiritual mother like Annabelle is. She is a sister and a spiritual mother. She has, since I've been here, been so blessed so many times with the spiritual wisdom that she brings forth that it really is hard to put in words. So I just will do what the brothers are doing to thank her for obeying the Spirit of the Lord and to walk this walk out and to be 87 years old. It's her birthday too. Happy birthday again too. She has a double header here. She's pressing on. She just doesn't quit. She's walking in the truth and she's living it out. And it just comes through her and it kind of just rolls all over us. So we're all blessed with her. And happy Mother's Day to my sister Annabelle. And 87 more coming your way.
Amen. Here comes Joey. We're going to get to you, Kim. Hang on there, Kim.
All right. That was great, guys. And they're all true. To me, Mom has been such a wonderful accountability to me by the Spirit. And one of the things that comes to my mind right now is the scripture that exhorts me to set my affection on things above. Let me just read the whole scripture here. It's from the Apostle Paul, of course, to the Colossians. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. So, anyways, being around Mom the whole time that I've been here has exposed things that, you know, the things of the flesh, things of you know, other things that's contrary to the Lord that hinders me from coming forth in the Lord, and she has been such a help to me. And I look back in my own life and I can say glory to God, and I thank the Lord for Ma because of her sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and the truth to tell me to my face what I need to hear in order to be conformed step by step, day by day, into the image of Jesus Christ. Which if you want to be conformed into the image of Jesus, you have to submit and to yield to the Holy Spirit. And surely Mom is a vessel of the Holy Spirit in whom you can be around to as a true accountability and truly be transformed if you yield. And so I just want to thank God for mothers. Thank God for God creating the holiday of Mother's Day, so to speak, or allowing it to be in existence, because it gives me the opportunity to honor her in the Spirit, in the Lord. And I just pray that the Lord will continue to strengthen her and continue to help us to submit to the Lord in her as well. So happy Mother's Day, Ma, and happy birthday as well. God bless.
Back to Dan.
All right, we got one more, Kim. Hang on, Andrew wants to say something. No ladies first around here.
All right, well,
Happy Mother's Day, Ma. You know, this morning before I was coming over for breakfast, I had gotten my gifts all together that I was going to bring over for Ma, and I was walking out of my apartment, and there was one neighbor standing outside, and he said, "Are you going to see your mother today for Mother's Day?" And I said, "Yes, I am," and I had fully in mind that I was going to come out here and be with Ma all day. And he said, "Oh, well, I'm glad you're going to go see your mother," he said, "because if you weren't," he said, "I'd say you could come over to our place for lasagna." And I'm like, "Eh, no, I'll pass on your lasagna. I'm going to go spend it with my mother, believe me, because I truly do love Mama. She's been such a blessing to me, as all the other guys have said, you know, the life of Jesus that she manifests, it just blesses me so much, and it too gives me a goal to continue to press on, and that you truly can come forth in the image of Christ. So happy Mother's Day, Mama, and happy birthday, and 87 years old. I'm so glad you made it. You know, this winter was really hard when you were sick, and that I just praise the Lord that he brought you through it and that he's giving you that healing touch. And yeah, as Johnny said, another 87 more to go. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day!
We love you!
Yeah, okay, Kim. You got the mic. Go ahead if you still want to.
I just wanted to thank you, Mom, too. And I was trying really hard not to forget what I wanted to say. Raising children in the image of God. Those are the words from your program that that the Lord gave me that I wanted to say about Mom. That's what Mom's doing. She's raising the Lord's children in the image of God. And that is especially meaningful to me, having been raised in a very ungodly home in my natural life. And then to grow up and meet Mom and be raised again into the kingdom of God in the image of God by a godly mother. I just thank you, Mom. And I thank you, Dan, for all of the truth you've been exposing. That's truly been setting us free. All of this truth about the public schools and the truth about the country. I just thank you. It's really setting us free. Happy Mother's Day, Mom, and happy birthday. I love you, and thank you, Dan.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. God bless you. Hang on a second here. Jen has a message for Ma. She says, "Annabelle, happy Mother's Day to you. Your passion for God and your willingness to share his word is soon evident as you pour out from a sincere heart. I look forward to meeting you in person." Thank you. And K-Men says, "Yes, when I think of Mom, one word comes to me, wisdom." Thank you, K-Men. God bless you. Okay, thanks for sharing, everybody. I appreciate it. I guess that's it for this week. We'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.